Syrian opposition, the people who are in Geneva, who the United States put a lot of pressure on to go to Geneva to negotiate, and that's the groups that they're giving them to. Is it perfect? Well, it's never perfect in chaos, and I'm sure some of the arms that the Russians and the Iranians sent to Assad ended up in the wrong hands as well.
Well, let's talk about what you just mentioned there, Lawrence Corp. Brian Becker, this was a development, but it's not really 100% in terms of confirmation, the fact that the Syrian delegation has agreed to this transitional governing body. This was something that the opposition actually came out and said. We still don't have a 100% guarantee on their confirmation. But at the same time, obviously, the red line is still going to be there, which is the handover power, or Assad stepping down. Overall, don't you think that given that red line, that this so-called divided opposition is not ready to negotiate and therefore puts the whole Geneva II talks under question?
Absolutely. There's no question that the Assad government from the beginning of the Geneva discussions, Geneva I in the original roadmap, has been open to a transitional government. What they decided and what they said from the beginning was they would not in advance, as a precondition, agree that the Assad government or Assad himself would have to be outside of the transitional government, or that the Ba'athist Party would disappear from the political process. They haven't agreed to that. Secondly, the opposition in Geneva, really, who do they speak for? Yes, they have been the chosen selected proxies for the Western forces, but do they actually control the forces on the ground? We know that the Free Syrian Army and the other Islamicist forces are fighting each other, bitterly fighting each other, major combat, in addition to the fact that they're both fighting the Assad government. So there's no real way that the opposition in the so-called moderate opposition in Geneva can say with any sort of authority that they are speaking for the opposition. The U.S. government knows that too. I think the Assad government has shown in the beginning of the process and continues to show that they are willing to find a negotiated settlement. Let's remember that's been the formal position of the Assad government from day one, from the day that this armed conflict began. And they've also had sectors of the opposition who are not considered puppets of the West and who are not considered al-Qaeda, who had differences of opinion with the Assad government but were considered to be a legitimate force within Syrian politics. But they were the opposition that rejected armed struggle and rejected taking arms from outside forces because they said foreign intervention would not strengthen democratic forces in Syria. It would just weaken the entire country.
Lawrence Corp, let's talk about terrorists. I'm sure you remember in the opening day of this was in Montreux when John Kerry came out and said that the Assad regime is a magnet for terrorists, of which it's a statement that was reflected again by a U.S. Spokesperson during one of these press conferences, saying the regime's brutality is the source of the violent extremism in Syria today. I mean, is the U.S. completely turning a blind eye to Saudi Arabia's support for terrorists? Why isn't that issue being really, really tackled? Saudi Arabia's support for terrorists.
Well, I think you got to remember that this whole thing started as part of the Arab Spring. There were peaceful demonstrations. The Assad government was the first to use lethal force. The rebels were unarmed to begin with. Then when Assad used it and began to get arms from Russia and Iran, then the other Arab countries in the region began to send arms in. Then when you had chaos groups, these extremist groups like al-Qaeda in Syria and Iraq, came in and to take advantage of the situation. That's what they did. They did the same thing in Iraq when the Sunnis rose up against Maliki, and they're doing it again. So they're taking advantage of the situation. So the United States is, which is why they preferred a negotiated settlement. The United States did not attack after the chemical weapons, when in fact that was had nothing to do with the rebellion. It was basically the whole international norm about chemical weapons. But when there was no support from the United Nations, then the president, I think quite rightly, decided not to, because unlike Libya, where you did have support from the United Nations and the Arab League, he didn't get the support. So he backed off, and now we have a peaceful solution. The weapons are being shipped to Italy. The United States is sending a ship over there to destroy the chemical weapons. That was the concern. Obama's concern was not to get involved in the civil war. It was the whole question of the international norms against using chemical weapons.
Well, Brian Baker, I'm not really convinced about what Lawrence Korb said, because the question that I posed is the fact that Saudi Arabia, to break it down, these 50 groups on last count that have been merged and put under the umbrella of the Islamic Front is what they call it. And now this to me sounds like a really major deal, 50 groups that Saudi Arabia is bankrolling. But yet this issue is not something that it seems, even during the Geneva talks, to be the focus. Remember the little spat that Ban Ki-moon had with Walid al-Mualim when they talked about this. Why is it that this is not being the focus? Lawrence Korb talks about al-Qaeda as if they just sprung into Syria. But it was from the U.S. invasion, I believe, from Iraq, that al-Qaeda really started nurturing itself and blossomed, so to speak. And of course, we're seeing many of them in Syria.
Indeed. I think that what we really are seeing is a good cop, bad cop kind of scenario play out. The bad cop are the so-called al-Qaeda, the Islamic extremists, the ones who are funded by Saudi Arabia. The American and Western governments are supporting the moderate opposition, so-called. The fact of the matter is that the Saudi government is a principal ally of the United States. The Saudi government is a royal family. There's no democracy. The idea that they would be going to Syria to defend the Sunni population or to defend democracy is laughable, because Saudi Arabia is the antithesis of democracy and yet remains a principal U.S. ally. The Saudi government and the U.S. government were not concerned about the difference between a moderate and Islamic extremist opposition early on, because they thought the main goal and the real thing that they were trying to do, which was to overthrow the Assad government, would be achieved. That was the primary goal, to smash an independent nationalist government in this important part of the world, this geostrategically and resource-rich part of the world. Now, as they have been thwarted in the effort to overthrow the Assad government, as the military campaign by the rebels sort of created lots of divisions, there's now the playing out of debates over who should we support, the Islamic extremists or the moderates. The rationale of the Obama administration, this may not be Obama himself, but his administration, says now we must send more arms to the moderate government so the extremists don't, so that they don't win. But it was the U.S. government and its allies, Saudi Arabia and Turkey and Qatar, who made the opposition strong in the first place, including the al-Qaeda forces. So they're their creation. It's not just like a Johnny-come-lately where Saudi Arabia suddenly has brought them in. The U.S. has coordinated these arms shipments through the CIA in Jordan for the last 3 years. It's the Obama administration's responsibility for the rise of al-Qaeda.
We're quickly running out of time. And Lawrence Korb, I need to get your reaction on this. You know, the Turkish prime minister, if you're not aware, was in Iran. He actually just flew back today, and he spoke to Iran's leader. He spoke to Iran's president. And it was interesting that when he returned, news broke out that the Turkish armed forces actually attacked a convoy of al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, these convoy of three vehicles in Syria that belonged to the ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq, and the Levant. It appears that Turkey has taken a U-turn, so to speak, on the situation in Syria. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, and I think it's important to keep in mind, we don't have any control over the Saudis. In fact, the Saudis are so mad at us, they wouldn't take the seat on the UN Security Council when it came up. And we're getting along fine with Assad. Remember, the Syrians fought with us in the first Gulf War. It wasn't our idea. It was the people in the region rising up from Tunisia and Egypt and going into Syria. That's what started this. The United States had nothing to do. In fact, they would probably prefer more stability there in the region. But it's same thing's happening in Egypt, okay? We should have stayed with Mubarak. Then we didn't. And then you had, you know, the military came in and overthrew the democratic government. So the United States would prefer to have the situation go back to where it was 10 years ago.
And in closing, Brian Becker, your reaction to Lawrence Korb there?
Yes, I think the U.S. would rather have it back 10 years ago, where a series of dictators throughout the region maintained U.S. Influence. But of course, the Arab Spring has changed the relationship of forces. The U.S. is trying to play catch-up in many ways. But here we have it. The U.S. invaded Iraq. They overthrew a sovereign government. They bombed Libya's government into submission. They were hoping to overthrow the Assad government. This is part of a long pattern. They started with the overthrow of the Mossadegh government in 1952. The U.S. really does desire puppets if they can get puppets. And if they can't get puppets, they would prefer to have weak governments rather than regional powers that would challenge U.S. hegemony in this oil-rich region. So, yes, there are contradictions in the U.S. policy, but the arming of the opposition in Syria, maintaining the flow of weapons, creating civil war, okay, and then saying to the Assad government,
I'm sorry,
you're responsible
Brian, I got to jump in here. We're just fresh out of time. I do apologize. National coordinator of Answer Coalition, Brian Becker, there was speaking to us, and senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, Lawrence Korb, spoke to us from Washington. Thanks for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tahvayi and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.